Thank you, Ben. We're going to show you a video first, so we'll just stand here and watch it while you watch it as well.
Whatever,
sit down, perhaps. This is a video which is newly released this week. It is the 150th celebration of OMF, and it's just a three-minute shot.
Our story begins on the 25th of June, 1865, when James Hudson Taylor cried out to God on Brighton Beach for willing, skillful workers to join him in taking the gospel to the unreached inland provinces of China. And so the China Inland Mission was founded. Within a year, Taylor, his family and 16 workers set sail aboard the Lammermuir to China. By the end of 1866, 24 workers were active in four stations across inland China, preaching the gospel and planting churches. Other missionaries of the time sought to preserve their British ways, but Hudson Taylor was convinced that the gospel would only take root if missionaries were willing to identify with the culture of the people they wanted to reach. Let us in everything not sinful become like the Chinese, that by all means we may save some. The following years saw a period of expansion for the China Inland Mission. By 1888, the CIM had sent 294 people to 14 provinces. Between 1898 and 1900, during the Boxer Uprising, hundreds of missionaries and thousands of Chinese Christians were put to death. The CIM lost 58 missionaries and 21 children. Through this time of persecution, the CIM grew in number to 933 people, and by 1939, almost 200,000 Chinese and minority people had been baptized. A turning point came in 1949 when Mao Zedong and his Communist Party took power in China. Despite wanting to stay, by 1950 it became impossible and the China Inland Mission had to leave. It was an uncertain time, but hope came when the decision was made to move out to new countries. Headquarters were established in Singapore and workers spread out to surrounding countries, taking the gospel of Jesus in all its fullness with them. The name was changed to the Overseas Missionary Fellowship and then to OMF International in the 1990s. As OMF workers have sought to reach the vast and diverse people of East Asia, their skills and ministry have had to develop and diversify too. Alex rode his motorbike around Thailand, handing out Bible tracts. David broadcast Christian radio programs into Cambodia. Makino and Izu disciple students in Thailand. Kirk travels to the nomads of Mongolia, sharing the good news of Jesus. Irene trains Sunday school teachers in the Philippines. Carolyn prepares new Asian believers in the UK to return to East Asia. Sarah mentors marginalized women through jewelry making in China. And Peter teaches the Old Testament in Malaysia. In 2006, Dr. Patrick Fong became the General Director, the first Asian leader to hold this position in OMF International. Today, we have over 1,400 workers from over 40 nations serving among approximately 100 people groups in East Asia, as well as among the Asian diaspora in Europe, Africa, the Americas, New Zealand, Australia, and in Asia. This is how God has used us for the past 150 years. How will He use you?
So that's a story of encouragement in itself, isn't it? 150 years and still growing despite martyrdom, exclusion, expulsion, exiles. God will achieve his purposes. Amen. So for us personally, on this journey, I was very moved when Sam and Katie spoke last week about Bethel and their Bethel experience. But we can tell you that that place isn't just in Bethel. That place is in Chiang Mai too. Yeah, we love, encourage, expect. We have trials. We are overworked. But we always see God, we always seek God, we pray for God to do things and we see him doing them. That's the kingdom of God and we live in the kingdom of God in Chiang Mai. It's not just in Bethel, it's here, it's there. The kingdom of God is near and that's our really encouraging thing. You can be and experience that wherever you are, wherever you're called to work. You don't have to go, but if you are called to go, we desperately need some people. So yeah, just get in touch.
Okay, before Christmas, I started a series of Advent readings, and the first in the series started like this, Isaiah 11, verse 1, a branch from Jesse, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And I'm sure you probably are familiar with how it goes on. My thought was, well, that's an unusual image of Christmas. Don't see stumps on Christmas cards, you see robins. Okay, that's interesting. That morning, I was in correspondence with one of our colleagues in a remote part of our region. He and his wife run a cafe as a Christian witness place. The food approval department had forbidden cafes and restaurants to show religious symbolism. And during the conversation, he asked me to pray about it, and he asked me to share this prayer need with our colleagues. And I just said to him, well, this morning, I had this image of this stump. And he said, wow, that's one of my favourite verses. I know, I'll get my daughter to make one. So he did. And it did prove to be a talking point. And people were encouraged about it. So, what's encouraging in this story? First encouragement is that in a difficult situation, in a situation of restriction, persecution, God's message finds a way. God finds a way to proclaim. There are people in difficult situations who do need to think about these difficult things. Well, that was great. For the colleague, particularly, let's think, he was encouraged by the fact he just expressed a problem, and God had provided an answer beforehand, and I was able to participate in that. And for me, it was a great encouragement, because, as you know, we do backroom jobs, and it was just fantastic to feel that God had actually given me something to give to somebody in a place that I'd never been, 1,000 miles away. It was an encouragement, so it's great. Thank you, Ben.
Great. Don't sit down, Alan. Lorna, come stand up. We must pray for these guys. You travel back to Chiang Mai next week?
Thursday
this week. Okay, right. Maybe just could you share a couple of things that we could be praying for you over the next few months?
Yep, okay. Workload is very busy, as always. The team is changing all the time. I'm probably going to be asked to do a bit more. I've been asked to do a bit more already, so it's a continual time of being stretched. We have great neighbours in our neighbourhood. I also am meeting with a couple of Thai guys they want to practice their English. They're Christians, and we will pray and read the Bible together. So pray for them. Their names are T and Joe.
I think similar for myself. There's always new challenges and stretches. I was saying to somebody at the door, you know, so long as we are able to flex and come back upright, we are fine. So do pray for us that we can be flexible and be still anchored in Christ. And to reconnect with our Thai neighbours around, reconnect with all that Thai we learned and forgot. If you just pray specifically for me that I could actually hear what people are saying. I know lots of Thai words, and I know they're talking Thai, except there's one lady across me, I'm convinced she's not actually talking Thai. But listening is the key to learning, and I really would like God to turn the volume up on my ears, that I can actually hear what people are saying, actually in Thai, and also spiritually as well.
Great. Let's pray for these guys. I'm going to start praying. If people want to come out and lay hands on them, that would be great. If you don't want to come out, see, just stretch out your hand towards them. But let's spend a bit of time just asking God for these things. Father, we thank you for your good and faithful servants, Alan and Lorna. And we thank you, Lord, for the stories of your goodness that are evident in their lives. And we just pray for more of that. We pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit. That every challenge in their way, they would just throw themselves on you and know that you are strong enough, that you are good enough, that you are achieving your good purposes, and that you have a good plan for them. Amen.
Father, I just want to pray that you would breathe on them. I just feel this word. One of the pictures of your Holy Spirit is your breath. So, Father, I want to pray that you would breathe on them and breathe in them and breathe through them. And that, Father, all that they've come back for, that they would feel at peace to leave behind. And that, Father, your breath would just carry them back again and that they would be anchored by your Spirit. Bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Father, just so aware of Alan and Lorna's servant heart for you, Lord. And I just really pray that you meet their needs, both practically and spiritually, over the next few weeks as they resettle back over in Thailand, Lord. That we are not quick to have them in our thoughts and in our prayers, Lord. And that, yeah, you just continue to bless them and grow this amazing mission that you've got started over 150 years ago. And these guys are just a small part. But, Lord, we're just so grateful for these guys and for all the work that everyone's doing out there, Lord. Just bless these guys. Safe onward travel, Lord. And just be near to them now. Amen.
Yeah, and Father, we just want to pray for your kingdom, Lord, in Asia, Lord, Southeast Asia, and into China. And Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit and your mercy on that land. We thank you, Lord, for the people you are calling from that place to be missionaries. Lord, would you provide for all of their needs? Would you grow your church, Lord? Would you call many more, Lord, to the ripe harvest fields that are there? For your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay. So, moving onwards, Anna is going to share some things with us.
I love being able to actually follow on from Alan and Lorna for two reasons. OMF was one of the first organisations that I was aware of. And if you haven't read mission biographies before, Hudson Taylor is a great place to start. When I became aware of him as a student 20 years ago, he was such an inspiration, but also reading a lot of their material, hearing stories that are happening today, it's not, and I love, I think particularly with Hudson saying, it's an ordinary person with an extraordinary God, that they are not some superhuman. If you tell Alan and Lorna that, they will tell you all about their weaknesses and foibles and everything else as well. But God really moved. And yeah, it'll be 20 years this summer. I went on my first mission trip to the Philippines with OMF. So that as an organization has a special place for me. But also as well, I love the fact that God called you guys in a new season went later on in life as well. And my parents were in their 50s before they ended up moving to Romania. So anyone that thinks mission is for just your 18 to 25s, think again and talk to Alan and Lorna and find out more about their journey and how they ended up there as well. So just to confuse you, I'm Anna, married to the lovely Paul, who's asleep this morning because he works for the blood bank on ships. But yeah, we've been coming to OM for 10 years since we married, and then come April, actually been 9 years since I started work for OM, not OMF. Ours is the overseas, I'm getting mixed up now, Operation Mobilization. But rather than show you another video about that one, I don't want to confuse with what we've just seen. So if you're free, please do come along on Wednesday. You're sending the notices about seeing God in desert places. Paul and I will be sharing about our trip to North Africa that we had in January. And it really fits in with a lot of the creative stuff. And I travel a lot with what I'm doing with OM anyway. But actually, it was out of what Paul's been doing with his photography and kind of a different journey, but in some way similar to Bethan, about how he uses his photography both to serve God here and how it's used overseas. So we'd love your support, hear a bit more about what we've been up to, but also come find a bit more about, particularly you hear all the negative stories about Arab Spring and North Africa and other places, that come and hear that God is still good, God is still working there, and be inspired. But yeah, who is OM? What actually, did you realise you've actually sent me out and been supporting me for the last 9 years? Possibly not. That's the thing, when I haven't moved anywhere. I oversee the short-term missions department. Some of you will know Becky Miles, who was a student who, after she graduated, came to work with me for 2.5 years. She finished last summer, and we've actually got an interview next week for someone to replace her. So please, Lord, if it's not the right person, please make that clear. But if it is the right person, that would be very handy. Because we're sending out about 200 people a year to over 110 countries. So we work worldwide. And about half of those are in groups, half are individuals. And you end up going on trips perhaps with a multinational team. So it's not just Brits going to South Africa. You could be at the team of Germans, Koreans, Canadians, all mixed together. So it's a real opportunity. I think you learn as much about yourself from some of your other team members and how your cultures interact as you do learning about the country you're going to. So it certainly taught us a lot along the way. And then since January, just, you know, that wasn't enough to keep me out of mischief. I've got more involved in supporting my international colleagues as well, because there'd been a bit of a gap. And as much as each country in OM, we set up, so Canada organises its own outreaches, that puts them on the web, and then I send people to them. How do you coordinate 110 countries and make sure you match the right people to the right places? How do... I want my short-term colleagues to have a long-term passion for mission, because if we haven't got a long-term passion, how are we going to have a long-term impact on the places where we work, on the people that we want to come and get a vision to see God at work in their lives as well as in the places where we're going? So I'm now involved more with that, which is another reason why I'd like more in the UK office, so I've got more time to be involved with that. But I just written down here, stories of why God is good. Oh, I've lost my place now. God is good because with your help, we've sent 1,400 plus people since I've joined on placements in over 30 countries. There's a lady who's now long-term in Arabia seeing people come to Christ because she did 4 or 5 short-term trips there and is now out there full-time. And, if anything you know about working in the Muslim world, seeing a couple of people come to Christ within 3 months of being there is praise God for that. It really, she's the right person for the right time. So you've been part of that, even though you didn't realise. A South African church who actually based in Norwich, they've been going out to Romania for the last 5 years, and they've actually helped literally build and plant a church amongst a gypsy community there. So... again, you've been involved in that. Those of you might remember that actually Paul used to have hair down to here and got his head shaved about 2008 before we went out to India. Thankfully, he's kept it short since. But since we raised money for that school, there is now a school for Dalits, what were called the Untouchables in that area of India. There's over 30 schools we've helped plant, but over 120 across the country. And the school that we helped shave Paul for is now in its second phase. It's ready to expand, so God is good. A remote Tibetan tribe in Nepal are being reached because of a girl who went out for a 2-month placement not long after I started. She then went off and did her degree, but really had a heart for the place. So she's come back trained and equipped, and she's gone back there. She's now gone back for a second long term to work amongst them. So when you hear about remote places, finding ones that takes you like a month, 3 weeks to walk there, there's no other communication, there really are still some remote places out there that need support. But just as they've said, Alan Lorna mentioned, you know, the harvest is still plentiful and the workers are few. So please don't give up praying, giving or going as God calls you. And I think I wanted as well... with all the things I've been doing, a course on mentoring clinic, and just looking, reflecting back on my life, it's Mother's Day as well. It seemed appropriate just to acknowledge both the place for my mum's influence in my life. She took me along to the Grace Baptist Mission Days when I was 10, once a year down in London. So it was instilled in me from the from the beginning that we should be praying, we should be aware of what's going on in the world. So by the time her and Dad got involved in Romania, we opened up in the 90s, it'd already been implanted in me, but I'm not a missionary kid because they didn't go out to Romania till I'd left home. But I thank her for that influence on me. And as some of you know as well, she died from cancer in 2010, so it's nearly 5 years ago now. But just to testify as well that to the weekend we went to visit her, she still fully believed that God could heal her at the 11th hour. And because he didn't choose to, her funeral was an amazing opportunity to still testify to the fact that God is good. And even when it's a struggle, still just keep on testifying that God is good. And I know there's plenty here that still have those struggles. And there's lots of good things I've learnt from my mum and probably some bad habits I've picked up along the way as well. And OM's been a great opportunity to really know myself better. And I think when you do go on a short-term mission, you're outside your culture, you're outside your comfort zone. It does give you an opportunity to know your relationship with God. So maybe it's not about you thinking, I want to understand how to pray more effectively. It could just be, God, we talk about out of the comfort zone, but I think it's just stretching your comfort zone. If we're going to grow, we do need to keep stretching ourselves a bit. So if I can help you, whether it could be in the UK, it could be in Nepal or New Zealand, I don't mind, but I'd love to chat with you, and I don't mind which organisation you go with, but obviously I know a bit about OMF and OM, but we'd just love to pray with you and support you if you think that might be the right thing for you. But yes, don't forget to come on Wednesday.
Okay, stay there, don't go away. We must pray for Anna. Again, I'll start praying. If people want to come and join me, let's pray for Anna and what she's doing and for Paul. Father, we want to honour Anna. And we want to honour you, Lord God. So many people, so many countries. Father, you are worthy of that praise. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have called Anna to be such an important part of your kingdom building. Lord, would you bless her? Would you encourage her, strengthen her? Would you guide her? And Lord, would you continue to use her to challenge us as a congregation to be part of your global purposes, Lord? Yeah, amen.
Father, thank you that in all the years I've known Anna back through in those uni days, it just seems so natural in her life to be involved in mission, be involved in people's lives overseas, to show them your love. Thank you that she just chats so easily and freely because it's her passion. And thank you that that comes across to the people she meets. Thank you for the way you placed her in this role at Quinta with OM and the amazing work that she does there. And I pray that she will continue to be encouraged and to be supported. Thank you that as a fellowship, we can support her in that. And thank you for the lives that she is helping to change. Thank you that even though she's not full-time overseas, she's very much a missionary for you, very much looking to change people's lives, to show them how good you are, to show them how much you love them, and to change their lives for the better. Father, I pray that you would strengthen her when she needs it, that you would be there for her, that you will let her love her free time with Paul, and that every day she will grow more and more in love with you, and that will come across in the work she does for you with OM. Amen.
Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you for the beautiful spirit that I see in Anna and her willingness to continue stretching herself. And I know it's not always easy, and we've seen some of that. She's been willing to share some of that with us this morning, and I just thank you for that. I thank you for her vulnerability, and I thank you for her willingness to keep stepping out even when it's hard. And I just want to pray that you will bless her. And we pray for this interview. We just pray that if this is the right person, that it will just be really clear. And if this person is not, then bring those right people to work alongside her so she can be fully effective in what you've called her to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Great. Thank you. So I really encourage you, again, is it Wednesday night? Come along, check the notice in the diary Wednesday night, hear a little bit more about what God's saying to Anna and to Paul and where they're going from here. In a couple of minutes, we're going to spend some time singing, worshipping God, worshipping this great God who's doing so many good things around the world. Before we do that, myself and the World Focus teams, we were planning this evening, we thought it'd be good just to talk for a couple of minutes about what do we mean when we say God is good? What are we affirming? Let me give you an example, because has anyone here seen the film Frozen? Put your hand up if you've seen that film. Anyone here delighted that Frozen 2 has been announced? Yeah? One willing customer over there. Okay, so if people have seen the film, do you think it's a good film? Put your hand up if you think it's a good film. Okay, it's a good film. So, God is good. Frozen is a good film. God is like Frozen? Is that what we're saying? We're not saying that, are we? There must be something more less subjective about this, less about opinion when we say that God is good. So maybe if we go to the Bible, we can get a good picture of what we're saying. So we look at a verse like this: "You are good, and what you do is good." Maybe there's a special word that is telling us about God's goodness. But the word used here to say God is good is exactly the same word that's used to describe a good day in the Bible, or good food, or good people. So there's nothing special about this word, good, that we're using. Rather, when we affirm that God is good, we're saying something about his characteristics. If move on to the next slide for me, kid. His goodness is a collective term for his nature, his creative ability, his deeds, the gifts he gives us, the news about his deeds and promises and his purpose. And this is not an exhaustive list. When we're talking about God's goodness, we're talking about all these things and our experience of the reality of these things in our lives and in the situations that we work in. And when we consider these as a whole, then we can conclude, like Jesus did when he was illustrating that he and his Father are the same, that there is only one person who is good. There's only one person who is always good, who is perfectly good. And by that I mean that when you consider his deeds, for example, what he does, there is nothing conceivably better than what God is doing. Even if it doesn't seem so at the time, even if maybe sometimes it seems hard, we know that he is good. We have stories from the Bible that illustrate that to us. We have stories from amongst our church family here that show us that God is good. He is good. And so we need to keep encouraging each other. Encouraging each other with these kind of stories to fulfill our mission. Like I was saying, that we need to be messengers of God's goodness. We need to be telling people and encouraging each other about God's goodness. Witnesses here and witnesses all over the world to his goodness. Now this begins with words, it begins with stories, but it's about more than that, isn't it? It's about inviting that goodness into our situations by asking for healing, by asking for God to speak to us through his Spirit and to be at work in our lives powerfully. And we'll have some time to do that as well later on in the service as well. If you want healing, if you want to see God's goodness in some part of your life, we can pray for that this morning, and we want to believe God for that this morning. So I just want to share a couple more stories of God's goodness from around the world. One that Bethan has shared with us. In fact, maybe just one that Bethan shared with us. Because what God's doing, the good things that God's doing around the world are exactly the same as the good things that God's doing here. There's no difference in God's goodness in what he's doing there and what he's doing here. Apart from, there is one difference. Here, there are many, 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 many more believers. I had to get this challenge in. I think it's important, especially as God's doing some new things in our congregation, in our church, and it's exciting, we need to not lose sight of the fact that there is a big need for people to proclaim God's goodness around the world. Have a look at this statistic that I found. 77,000 people in Chester. one place where there's lots, where there's a real lack of people to proclaim God's goodness, India. 458,000 villages with no known Christian presence. Let the weight of that rest on you for a moment. There's places where God's goodness is not being proclaimed. And we need to be wary of that. But some people are going. It's great to hear news that the church in China is sending so many more people. Some people are going and some people are seeing God's goodness take shape. Lucy's just going to share a story that Bethan sent to us, illustrating this very thing.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? I think we're so rich as a Christian culture, as a church here in the UK. And Bethan's been travelling all over the world. She's currently in Paraguay, and she writes this story. Sorry? Oh, she was in Paraguay when she sent this email a few days ago. She's now in Bolivia. She's really going quickly. Okay, so I can share a story from this tribe in Paraguay. They're called the Ache tribe. And altogether, there are around 2,000 Ache people left in Paraguay. Now, my team and I are living with a smaller Ache community of about 200 people. This whole community is Christian, giving their lives to God together collectively some years ago, around 70 years ago, I think. The Ache people were hunted and sold in Paraguay's main squares as slaves. People would buy them and think they were doing the indigenous people a favour because they were seen as animals who now had access to a living home. A missionary wanted to work with the Ache people, bought an Ache man, freed him, and together they found the Ache people living in Paraguay's jungle. The jungle was being bought by Brazilian farmers and the Ache were being displaced and moved to smaller and smaller plots of jungle. The missionary, with the help of the Ache man, who my team met yesterday, helped the Ache people survive and maintain their land. Despite hardships for this missionary, a man and a wife, the man is no longer alive, but we've been working with his son and his grandchildren. So the missionary committed to staying with the Ache tribe. They were dealt with hostility and with fear because they were white, and their son told us about how he would get stones thrown at him. Now the Ache community have their own land, although it's no longer jungle, and this same family, one and two generations later, still aid the Ache with their land issues and with their growth. The Ache have a church built in their community where they worship together. Compared to other Ache communities, this one, of 200 people, is thriving and has low alcoholism and drug use. We have found them so warm, so welcoming, and so loving. They all love hugging. And these are the photos of the Ache tribe.
Thank you. Yeah, God is good. Ollie, do you want to come back up? And so we're going to spend some time now singing praises to this good God who is worthy of praise and worship in all these different parts of the world and cultures. If you have a story of God's goodness, either from abroad or from here, that you want to share to encourage us, or maybe a story or a situation in which you want to see God's goodness, then maybe in a little while you want to come and share it with me or with Andy, and it could be something that we can share to bless the congregation and to pray for as well. So just be thinking about that, but now we're going to spend some time singing and worshiping.